done, and I believe that God has something for us this morning, and from this passage. And I want to encourage you, please do keep your Bible handy as we study together. So let us pray. And gracious God, I thank you for the hour has come for you to glorify your name. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
So this morning I'm going to preach a little bit the way we do it back home in Nigeria. So I'm going to walk around. And I was sharing with someone when I came to the United Kingdom, 2010. It's really strange here when it comes to preaching. We don't have to write our sermons and read it as a note. But we open the Bible and we go through the passage and we explain the Bible. But I started doing it because of the culture here in order to manage the time. Because back home in Nigeria, we preach 2 hours on Sunday morning. And yet people don't want to go. They want to stay. Because they see church as their home. They want to receive more from Him. So this morning, I'm going to preach a little bit like Nigeria. Not much. So I'm going to keep my eye on time to make sure. Because today is Holy Communion. But I want you to just follow me from this Paul's letter to Christians in Rome, verses 18 down to verse 25. And if we go to verse 18 and say, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." So Paul was not ignorant of his suffering. He was not ignorant of what he went through. Shipwrecks, persecution, sufferings, beatings, and in prison. And I wonder if someone here, because of your faith in Christ Jesus, have suffered more than Apostle Paul. Have you stripped off your position because you're a child of God? Strip off your freedom because you believe in Him? Ostracized from the community because you believe in Jesus? Have you? No, you haven't said anything. So there's no any amount of suffering we all go through today that will be compared to what God has in store for us. So for when you remember where you are going, then you have to hold on your faith, because heaven is better than here, isn't it? It is. It doesn't matter. People can say all manner of things to you. Don't worry. No pressure. I have a better place. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 14 to his disciples. Because he knows it's going to happen. In John chapter 14 verses 1 to 3. "Let not your hearts be in trouble. In my Father's house, a better place than here, there are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. When I come back, I will take you. So that where I am, there you will be also." So 3 things stand out for me from this passage in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. Number 1 is suffering. Then number 2, creation. Then number 3, hope. So we're talking about suffering now. So serving Jesus is not bread and butter. It's not an easy way. Suffering is there. Persecution is there. Trials are there. But we keep going. You remember Paul's in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, "That I may know him and know the power of his resurrection. He doesn't stop there. He said again, to conform and share in the fellowship of his suffering. Do you see suffering there? And Paul says, I consider in verse 18 that the suffering of these present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So no amount of suffering that will be compared to what God has in store for you. Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful. And that keeps us going. No matter what people are saying behind us, no matter the attack, we have to keep doing what? Moving. That is the truth. Then from verse 19 down to verse 23, it says, for the anxious, I'm reading from New American Standard Version, and it says, for the anxious longing of his of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Who are the creation? Who are the creation? Children of God. But not only that. Even things, animals, and the things that God has created, we wait eagerly, we be longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Then verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility. Other translation says to frustration. I think it's the NIV. That's really important here. Verse 20. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. God allowed that. He doesn't stop there. In hope, he says, in hope. Then he connects to verse 21. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Verse 20, very interesting there. What happened to the creation? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Because there's something there, isn't it? If you read from verse 8 to 15, you could see what happened. There was a great fellowship between man and God. But when sin came, what happened? Excommunication, enmity between man and God. And when God called Adam, he was blaming what? The woman. Then the woman was blaming the serpent. So nobody wants to take responsibility of what they have done. So sin is the problem here with the creation. And God allowed that in hope that man one day will come back to his senses. In hope, you can look at that connection between verse 20 and 21. In hope that the creation itself also be set free from its slavery and corruption. Slavery still happening today. Corruption still happens today, isn't it? And sin still happen today. But I have a friend that says, no, you don't have to call it a sin. You have to choose a better one to say it. Maybe wrongdoing. Well, that's what the Bible says. Sin. We have to mention it. We have to call it sin. And it's a problem today in our families. And one problem we see is that it has synchronized with the culture. So in other words, everything goes as normal. So we don't see that sin anymore. So it's normal, way of life. So it's sin is a problem here. Okay? Among creation. And we don't talk about it today. You hardly hear that. Sin. But I will try to use a fashion word to describe it. Because it's very scary. So, oh, don't sin, don't call sin, because you will scare them away and you will not turn up in church again. Don't mention sin. to read Genesis chapter 3. Because that's the Genesis there, isn't it? That's the beginning of all creations and what happened. The distortions of what sin caused between man and God. The man lost the confidence, the fellowship. And that's what sin can do. When it comes to someone's family, it can destroy everything. Destroy the joy, the happiness, the unity we share together. And that's what sin can do. Then the last one is hope. And if you read that from verse 24 to 25, it says, hope is not something that you have. You don't hope for the car you have. Or the money in your bank, you don't hope for it. But you hope for something that you don't see. And many of us, if you want to look at the definition of hope, it's simply like faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Evidence of things that we did not see. Or what we hope for. The reality is that we are hoping that one day we're going to meet Jesus. And we're going to see him because he's coming. That's Revelation 22 verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly. So nobody knows when it's going to happen. And my reward is with me to give each and every one of you according to what you have done. Separate is going to receive his own kind. That's all. Remember, suffering, creation, and hope. So the question would be, what are you hoping for? Then verse 24, and it says, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? Then verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Perseverance. When we hope, we have to be what? Persevere. Eagerly. Walking in righteousness and in holiness until we see Jesus. Because it's like we won the race. Anything can happen. It doesn't matter where you start the journey. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. But the finishing line is the ultimate, isn't it? When you finish. So even when you are waiting and hoping, you need to make sure you keep updating your system. It's like a computer. If you don't update it, what's going to happen? It's all random. So you have to keep updating your system. Making sure that you are online with Almighty God. I'm going to read Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. From verse 7. And it says, for whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Then verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. That is Apostle Paul. Then verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. Yet for one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. It's really important as we go. Then verse 14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's Apostle Paul. We need to come up to that stage where we can say, yes, this is my goal. I'm walking to meet Jesus. And I wouldn't like anything to be a stumbling block on my way. Anger, unforgiveness, bitterness cannot hinder me for this race. I must finish well. I must finish well. And I want to challenge you this morning and encourage you. Dust your feet and be strong. The journey is not going to be easy. There will be suffering there. So many things will come and you thought it's normal. No. We're trying to modify sin today in our culture so it will not mean anything. But I want you to know that sin is still sin. There's no way. None. It's our culture. That's where we do it. Once it's not in line with the word of God, it's what? Rubbish. And we all need to hope and wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will come. And He will find us waiting and watching. Will you be there? Will you be ready when Jesus comes? Will you be ready when He comes? Let us pray. Just in a moment, I want you to think through. Do you consider yourself waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's not about your works. It's not about your title, your position, your achievement. It's about the finish line. It's not about when you started, but how well you end. And if you're here this morning and you have not made peace with Jesus, now is the time. Tomorrow might be too late. Ask God to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.